All right, we'll say good morning. So to continue today in Perek Yotes, in the red edition, we're up on the bottom, we're on the bottom of page Kufpei Tes. So remember again, yesterday the Ramchal introduced us to the idea of Kavod, Kavod HaMitzvah, the idea that one of the ways in which Chassidus expresses itself is in a performance not just of the basic requirements of the mitzvah, but of a going above and beyond to be able to satisfy the mitzvah in all its details. V'ulam chacham zichronim lebracha, in the last two lines, his hiruna v'hisnahek hefech zeh ba'avoda. Remember again, we ended up yesterday with the Musar of Malachi. And the Musar of Malachi was, he was telling Klal Yisrael, they were bringing these animals that although technically speaking were fit for sacrificial service, but Malachi is saying, is this the kind of animal you'd bring to a human ruler? Would you ever offer this up to the king? And he was giving them Musar that although technically speaking it was kosher, it was not, there was no hidr, there was no beauty in it. Chazal have really instructed us to behave in the opposite way when it comes to Avodas Hashem, meaning not just to go ahead and do things in order to get by, but really to be able to do the mitzvos in a way in which there is incredible hidr and beauty. Va'amru, and they said, Be'inyon Mayim Shenis Galu. Now remember, the halacha of Mayim Shenis Galu is that if you go ahead and you leave water uncovered, and by the way, it's not just water, it's any liquid uncovered overnight, the halacha is, the Gemara says, that one is not supposed to drink it. Now, the reason for that gezeira was because of snakes. There was a concern that maybe a snake would inject its venom into the liquid, and of course it would pose a sakana, pose a danger. Now, again, contemporarily, many people are no longer careful with this, and for good reason, because again, there are chashuch and others bring down that since we don't live in a place, we don't generally live in places where there are snakes are common, therefore one doesn't have to be concerned. However, interestingly enough, the Gemara says the following, Va'amru, b'mayimayim sheniskalu, shelo yisaninim, b'misneles. Listen to this. So there's an interesting halacha that says that let's say if you left water uncovered and now you want to use it, so there is a way in which you could render it usable. How? You pour the water through a strainer. So apparently snake venom, I guess, is thicker in nature. So if you pour it through the strainer, the venom will remain in the strainer. So the Gemara says that only works for one's own use, but it doesn't work for sacrificial use. So, for example, you couldn't use that water for nisach hamayim, or if it was wine, you couldn't use it for nisachim, for wine libations. Why? The Gemara says, mitam, imor da'amri lehegyot legavoa mikamar. Because again, if you want to say that it's fine lehegyot for individual use, legavoa for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Beis HaMikdash, is it okay? Les le hakrivehu na lepecha secha. After all, again, it's in violation of hakrivehu na lepecha secha. Remember again, that's the lashon of Malachi. That would you bring this? Remember, pecha secha, pecha is a sar or a moshe al haaretz, is a ruler. So would you go ahead and bring this to a ruler? See here, what all the Ramchal is pointing out, he's saying reina machi saron yeshuaim shenistanenu. What's wrong with the water once it's been strained? Right? After all, again, if it's been strained, there's no snake venom in it. Ukvar mutarim heim lehayot. After all, again, it'll be absolutely permitted to a regular person. Va'afilo hachi asurin heim legavoa. Mishum she'ino derech kavod. But yet again, what do we see? That one is still not permitted to use it. Why? Because it's not derech kavod. So we'll say, so this is a perfect illustration of this idea that here you have something that is technically permitted, but the idea is that when it comes to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't want just to get by with things that are technically permitted. Rather, again, we want our avoda to have hidr, to have beauty, to have an additional level, ultimately, of diligence in it. Va'omru od b'sifrei, v'chol mivchar nidrechem. The pasuk says again that you will offer up chol mivchar nidrechem. Literally, you will offer up all of the best animals for your nidarim. Dahainu shelo yavi ela min amuvchar. It teaches us that one should not bring a karban only from the choicest items. Choicest items. Ukvar matzano kain the hevel. So listen to this. Of course, the paradigmatic example of this is kain and hevel. Hevel heimi hevi mi bechoros sono michel behem. So remember again, hevel brought his karban from the bechoros sono, from the best of his sheep. Umichel behem, the kain min psoles pri ha'adama, And what did Cain bring his carbon from? He brought his carbon again from the leftovers of the earth. What happened to the carbonos? So we know, Vayisha Hashem el Hebel ve'el Minchaso. The Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned towards Hebel and his Mincha. Ve'el Kayin ve'el Minchaso lo Shah. But to Kayin and to his Mincha, no one turned. Va'omer, furthermore, again, the Pasuk says, Va'arur Nochel, Va'omer, Va'arur Nochel, V'yesh Ve'edro Zachar, V'zoveach Mashchas Lashem, Ki Melech Gadolani. Again, quoting the Pasuk from Malachi, Arur Nochel. If you look in footnote 111, Arur Nochel, Misnakel b'mirma v'divrei sheker l'fanei le'mor, Eli behema tova mizu. Cursed is the one who is treacherous and deceitful. Right? V'yesh be'edro zachar, v'noder v'zoveach mashchas l'ashem. He has good animals in his flock, and he goes and he offers a mashchas. Mashchas is an animal with a mum, with a blemish before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki melech gadol ani, because I am a great king. So the idea that Malachi is saying over here is again, you know, look, if all Kayin had was just the leftover stuff from the ground, okay, that's the best he's got. But that wasn't the case, right? Kayin had better. Kayin could have done better. So the idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam says is if you could do more and you could be more and you just simply try to get by with the bare minimum, it's an affront to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Kama Dvarim Hisiruni Zichron Livracha Shelo Yihiyu Mitzvos Bezuyos Aleinu. And so many different ways Chazal commanded us that mitzvos not be taken lightly, or Bezuyos literally means disparaged. Not be disparaged in our eyes. Ukvar Amru Kala Ochez Sefer Torah Arum Nikbar Arum Mipnei Bezuyos Mitzvos. Similarly, again, the Gemara said that whoever holds the Torah, holding the Torah Arum means whoever touches the cloth itself is buried, meaning literally whoever touches an unclothed Torah, which means that I touch the cloth itself, Nikbar Arum, person ultimately again is buried unclothed as well. Now again, in footnote 116, he quotes the Gemara. Now what that means is he's buried without that mitzvah, meaning it's referring to someone who's doing Hagbar, Galila, someone who's lifting up the Torah, rolling the Torah, and a person treats the Torah in a disrespectful manner by touching the cloth directly. So such a person loses out on that mitzvah. Why mipnei bizuyos mitzvah? So the point I will say is that a person could go ahead and do the right things, but if the right things are done in the wrong way, then ultimately, again, a person loses any kind of mitzvah associated with it. So you see over here again that Chazal is just trying to constantly express to us that when one does a mitzvah, so one could technically speaking get by, one could fulfill the obligation, but that's not what we're tasked with. What we're really tasked with is going above and beyond and doing things in a truly beautiful way. V'seder ha'alaz bikurim yelano le'inayim, liros ma hiduran shal mitzvos. And the truth is, if you want to get an idea as to what real hiddur mitzvah means, so Bikurim is a good example of this. What happens with Bikurim? Shekach shaninu, hashor holech lifneihem. So remember, again, this is referring, the Mishnah and Bikurim over here, is referring to the people who bring their Bikurim to Yerushalayim, and once they got to Yerushalayim, they'd have like a procession for the Bikurim. So what would happen? They'd have an ox walking in front of the people, the Karnov Mitsupos Zav, and its horns would be wrapped in golden thread. Va'ateres shal zayis berosho, and it would have an olive crown on its head. Od sham ha'ashirim mevim bikureim bikaloso shal zav. The rich people would bring their first fruits, literally in baskets of gold. Va'aniim besali nitzarim, and the paupers would bring their bikurim in literally baskets made of reeds. And again, what do you see over there? You see now again. Remember, there's a famous idea that for the aniim, their baskets were kept by the kohanim, but the ashirim, the rich people, their baskets were returned. So the Gemara points out what's the pshat. The pshat was that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, the baskets of the aniim were worth more than even the baskets of the ashirim. Why? Because again, a rich person, Baruch Hashem, has plenty to give away. The ani, even a basket of weeds, is something exceptionally precious. So the idea you see over here is that hiddur mitzvah is not necessarily measured in terms of actual dollar amounts, but rather his mitzvah is relative to the individual. Person pushes themselves to do more, to give a little bit more, to do a mitzvah in a little bit more of a beautiful fashion. That's the hidden mitzvah. He goes on, he says, Hari lanu behedja, kama ro'oi lanu lahosif al gufa. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Ocham, shalosh midos bebikurim. Furthermore, we learn there that there are three different aspects or three different parts to bikurim. Bikurim, tosefes bikurim, the iter bikurim. There is the bikurim itself, tosefes bikurim. We must remember again, so bikurim themselves are from the first fruits of the Shiva Samilim, of the seven specific species. Now, again, remember, the halacha is that there's no particular shear for Bikurim, it's just the first fruits. So Tosefes Bikurim are those who would add on additional amounts, and Iter Bikurim. So Iter Bikurim ultimately, again, is making the baskets look even more beautiful by adding yet additional fruit. Hari lanu behedja, so we see explicitly, Kama ro'i lanu lahosif al gufa shel mitzvah kedei lahadra. From here we see explicitly how much you're supposed to add on to a mitzvah in order to make it beautiful. Umikan nilmad l'chol shar mitzvos sheva Torah. And remember again, Bikurim just simply serves as the paradigm for other mitzvos as well. The idea being that one is not supposed to simply just get by, but rather one is supposed to beautify the mitzvah to the best of their ability. Va'amru Rava Rami Puzmiki Umatzli. So the Gemara says, literally, Rava Rami Puzmiki Umatzli. Look at footnote 122. Rami Puzmiki Umatzli. No sein an Pilios. Bate Raglai Mi Beged. Chashuvim Raglai Mispalo. That Rava would put on special davening shoes. Right? Some people, I guess, have a... whatever, some people have a suit, some people have a jacket, right? Rava had special davening shoes. So it literally sounds like slippers, but really means shoes for davening. Why? Amar, he said, Hikon likras elokecha Yisrael. Quoting the pasuk from Amos, because the Navi says, Yisrael, prepare yourself to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at footnote 123, he says, Hikon likras elokecha Yisrael, Chazal darshu as a pasuk b'muvan hazeh. So Chazal went ahead and darshin this pasuk in the following way. Hachin atzmucha baderech hidur v'kavod, hisnu elefanov. Prepare yourself again in the proper path, ultimately of hidur, of beautifying the mitzvah and of kavod, in order that you beautify yourself before. So we'll say, again, we'll stop over here for today, but clearly, again, you see that the idea that the Ramchal is trying to express over here is that one of the greatest manifestations of Hasidus is in our ability to engage in Hidr Mitzvah. Because when one engages in Hidr, what they're saying is, I'm not just going to get by in my Avodas Hashem, rather I'm going to go above and beyond and beautify the Mitzvah to the best of my ability, because the act of beautifying the Mitzvah in and of itself shows how dear and how precious this relationship is to me. We'll stop over here. We'll pick up again still in the context of Hidr, in the subject of Hidr Mitzvah tomorrow.